Welcome back to the Southern Oz is True podcast. Today we're going to be talking about, well, things in general, the heathen civil war, as I like to call it, and also to get some business out of the way, I suppose, if that's what you want to call it. I have created a Patreon for those who would like to support this podcast, and for those who want to become a Patreon subscriber, we also will be having vlogs for the Patreon subscribers, and of course, anyone who is a Patreon subscriber, I'll also do a shout out to on this podcast. Now, with that out of the way, let's talk about the Heathen Civil War. Or at least that's what I like to call it. And pretty much what the Heathen Civil War is, you have the whole universalist versus folkish thing. Now, I don't know why But what I don't know why is why we just can't get along, because we're all heathens. We are all heathens, so we should all be able to get along. Or at least that's what I believe. But, you know, it just simply isn't working that way right now. And I think it has a lot to do with the current climate of the U.S. anyways. Because the U.S. is very divided right now on many issues, and that only seeps into American heathenry, or American Oz is True, as anyone would like to call it. But I suppose that the universalists don't like the folkish, because the universalists think that the folkish are racist. Now, granted, some probably are, but some universalists are racist too. So, I mean, kind of calling the kettle black on that one. But, you know, the reason why I say some of the universalists are racist, if you're a universalist and you're listening to this, you're probably like, well, I don't know how any universalist is racist, because they're all inclusive, as they say. Well, basically, some universalists are racist towards white people, funny enough, because a lot of our ancestors were Northern Europeans, pretty white people. But these universalists that I see nowadays, they seem pretty racist toward white people, and also they, well, you know, just whenever you talk to them, some of them are just kind of like, you know, fuck white people. They've done nothing good and stuff like that. They drone on about it sometimes, and they say, well, because of colonization and shit like that, but, or better yet, my slavery. Every race on this face of the planet was enslaved at some point in time. The white race was enslaved whenever it come to Muslims, and even, if I remember correctly, there's even a time whenever white people were enslaved by white people. Oh yeah, that's right, it was the Roman Empire that enslaved white people. So, yeah, slavery, not a new thing, and wasn't only done by white people. In fact, even to this day, you have some African tribes and African nations, and even, you have the Muslim nations. They ain't gonna give up that slavery now, the Muslim nations won't. But right now you have some African nations that still take white people as slaves, and of course other black people as slaves as well. And then you have the Muslims, who take just about anyone they can get their hands on as a slave. And so, slavery, not new. and not only done by white people. So whenever you have those universalists who say fuck white people because my slavery, well, I hate to tell you, but every race on this earth was enslaved at some point in time in their history. And then you have those who say fuck white people because my colonization or because empire. Well, there is not a country on this earth who hasn't tried to take over another from at some point in time in their history. I think even the Swiss, at some point in time in their history, they had tried to take someone over. I mean, that's probably like in their ancient past, not in their recent past. In their recent past, they've been neutral. So, you go, Switzerland. You go. You're doing good. Too bad the entire world can't take that lesson, but I digress. So, and then you have some folkish who are racist. And some of these racist folkish are, it's not because they're folkish. It's, as the universalists seem to believe, they think it's just because they're folkish. No, it's not true. I'm a folkish as a truer, and I don't see myself as being racist at all. But, that aside, some folkish can be racist. Some of them are. You do have National Socialist in the folkish scene. And that only comes with, I guess, being white. You know, some white people fall into that National Socialist trap. Because where you have a world where everyone's saying, fuck whitey, you're going to have those people who look to the National Socialist, and the National Socialists are like, we love white people. So where do you think those people are going to go? You know, if you don't want to be hated because your skin color, where do you think you're going to go? That's the whole reason why people corral around, say leaders of their own race. Like, you have white people corralling around white leaders, usually, because they want to think on a day when they wasn't hated. Back in the 1960s and before that, black people looked toward Martin Luther King and I think Malcolm X as well, if I'm correct. Yeah, they looked toward those two because they were basically the only people not hating on them. So, whenever you have all this racial hatred, where people hates one race or another, that race that's getting hated on will turn toward the leaders that are in their race. And, you know, that's kind of what I've observed, at least through history and through what's going on nowadays. Now, of course, those National Socialists, some of them are leaders in the, what you call it, alt-right. The alt-right has some National Socialists in it, and it has some white, you know, you have your white nationalist. And right now, the only people who are advocating for people not to hate white people, it's those two. So, where do you think people are going to go? They're going to go to the people that are saying, hey, white people, you're not bad. You're all right. You can come, you can hang out. So that's where they're going to go. And Black Lives Matter. Let's talk about them. Some black people feel that people hate them. And in a lot of cases, well, not a lot of cases, but in some cases, that's true. You know, there is still racism. No matter where you go, there's still going to be racism. So, they turn toward their leaders. And right now, the leaders of Black Lives Matter are saying, hey, you know, black people, we like you. So they're going to turn toward them. You know, it's only natural that that happens. You know, people turn to leaders, as they say. But what I'm trying to get across here is that neither side, being universalist or folkish, has a reputation without a blemish. You know, the folkish, we've got some, you know, some things that are kind of questionable, but the universalists do too. Now, I don't know too much about the tribalist. I'm not going to lie. I don't. Only thing I know about the tribalist is that they're pretty much neutral. And they're not one set group. They're, you know, multiple groups of people. Because, you see, whenever you got the folkish, you have certain folkish national organizations. Then you got the same thing for the universalist side. But whenever you go tribalist, then you have all these kindreds who are non-affiliated to any national organization, but rather have a mix of maybe folkish and universalist in it who agree to disagree. Which is a good thing, I think. You know, I like that there are tribalists around. Tribalists are basically the middle ground where the folkish and universalist can at least shake hands. Where you have the extreme folkish and the extreme universalist side. That's just what I'm going to call it, because I'm going to put them on a spectrum here. You know, you got your folkish side, you got your universalist side, and in the middle you got your tribalist. That's the way I'm going to describe this. But on your universalist side, a lot of people on your universalist side don't want to associate with the folkish side. But from what I've seen, the folkish side, they don't care. They don't care whether they talk to or even have anything to do with the universalists. They're basically trying to stay to their own thing, stick to what they're doing, and not care about anything else that's going on. But I see that as a bad thing, actually. Because it's a good thing that the folkish national organizations stick to their own and do what they do. But at the same time, whenever you have, say, a universalist group who is actively trying to harm the other national organization by making it to where they can't go to events, trying to get people to say they can't come to events, and just trying to get them banned everywhere they go, I think that's about time when it's about time to fight back on that one. But they're not. The folkish are not going to fight back on that. So I don't know where that's going to lead, and I don't know. In the heathen world, that I don't know. I don't think that's the right response. But then again, it might be. Because sometimes the best reaction is inaction. And sometimes the best reaction is aggressive action. And this might be the time where the best action is no action at all. And I guess that's where the folkish national organizations are doing right now. They're just kind of staying to their own thing, being inactive toward the aggression that is coming from certain universalist organizations. Now, I think we all know who I'm talking about here. But, yeah. So, you have those two. Always bickering. But, it's always good to have that middle ground. However, the universalist and the folkish aren't trying to find a middle ground. At least the national organizations aren't. Individual people may be. And the individual people of these national organizations may try to find some middle ground. But I've been observing both organizations. And whenever I observe this certain universalist organization, they always seem to be attacking or, you know, for the most part, from what I've seen, they either attack the folkish national organization, or they just simply talk about things amongst themselves that's going on in their national organization, or just things in general. But whenever I do see them attack the folkish national organization, then every person that's in the universalist organization, I see them all agreeing that folkish is a bad thing. And it's not. Well, it's not inherently. It can become bad, kind of like universalist can become bad. You know, you can have extremists in both groups. And you can have extremists in all religions, for that matter. And so there's kind of that. Me, I'm more to the folkish side whenever it comes to heathen politics. Because, funny enough, we heathens, we got politics now. Oh, it's kind of funny whenever I think about it, though. But as I said, the heathen politics seem to align with your national politics, too. If you're kind of to the right in national politics, if you're a right-winger, you'll probably end up being tribalist to folkish. If you are on the left wing, you'll probably end up being a little bit in the, you'll probably be tribalist or universalist. Because the tribalists have people who are a little more folkish or people who are a little more universalist. But they're still in the middle. They still don't affiliate with the national organizations. So, there's that. And, of course, they believe that their national organization ought to be their kindred, their tribe, as far as what I've come to notice. And, you know, there might be some merit to that. But, at this moment, the only way that you can become a nationally recognized Gothi, in my, as far as I know, at least, the only way is to join a national organization and go through their Gothi program. Which, that's what I want to do. So, I had to choose a side. And so I chose the folkish national organization, or one of them, to become a member of. And I'll be participating in some of their events until the day comes whenever I decide to take the Gothi program to become a Gothi. So that way I can, you know, just wed people and do what Gothis do. Now, that's not to say I don't have a personal kindred. I do. My kindred is actually not affiliated with the national organization. That's something I'll have to talk to my kindred members about. See what they think. You know, if they want to go to the folkish national organization, make our kindred affiliated with that national organization or not. that's just something we'll have to talk about in the future. And so, you know, I've also noticed that the universalist side and the folkish side both want to have kindreds sign up and become affiliated with their type of, I guess you'd say, their type of belief. So, which, I mean, that's not a bad thing. That's how, well, that might be how heathens can really all come together and, I guess, learn from one another. And, you know, that might actually make heathenry better. However, that's a double-edged sword. Because at what point in time do you get a spirituality that turned into a organized religion? Although right now it seems the only way that the country, or at least the country that I live in, will recognize a Gothi is if this Gothi goes into, you know, a national recognized organization, thus making it to where it'll have to be a religious organization. And that's really what the folkish and universalists are. They are religious organizations, but they have that spiritual spin on it. You know, it's basically, they want you, from what I know, they want you to be able to be as spiritual as you possibly can, as if you wasn't in a organized religion, but also has the same perks of organized religion. And, you see, organized religion is, that's something that a lot of people don't like, but at the same time, some people like that experience. Me, I like my spirituality to be free, but I also like to have that organization to a religion as well. I kind of like that. So I like to have both. I like to have my cake and eat it too, as they say. So it's only natural that I would join one of the national organizations. But that's just the way it goes, I suppose. You just have both sides. Well, really right now it's only one side, but my theory or belief is that it may get worse. You know, the folkish might end up deciding that they have to fight back eventually, which, if this keeps up, they will. They'll have to try and clear their name some point in time if, you know, this one universalist organization keeps trying to make it to where their name is sullied and trying to make it to where they can't go to events or people don't want them to go to events. Which, to me, that seems petty, you know? It seems very petty to me that anyone, just, you know, outside of heathenry, and even in heathenry, anybody who says, we don't want you to go do your rallies, do your events, or anything else, because you believe in this, that's bad. That's not a good thing. That is silly. Let me just put it in a way that will probably piss everyone off who does this. That is fucking dumb that anyone would be like, you believe the wrong thing, so therefore, we're going to make sure you can't do your rallies, you can't do your events, You can't enjoy your spirituality without our consent. Actually, that's straight up fascist. That is fascism right there. Which, people actually want to know. Like, it seems nowadays. These days, people don't know what fascism means, I've come to realize. And fascism, basically what that is whenever you go full-on authoritarian. That's whenever you start to tell people what they can and can't do, and what they can and can't think. That's fascism. Basically, full-on authoritarianism. And that can happen on both the left or right side of anything in politics. And that can happen in heathen politics. You can have people on the universalist side and on the left-wing side who are so far to the left that they're now telling you what to do and what to think. You can have the same on the folkish and right side. So, yeah, you have that. However, these two fascisms have a name. And the left-wing fascism tends to be communism, because communism is the only left-wing ideology that I know of that tells you what to do and what to think. And then on the right side, you have National Socialism, which tells you what to do and what to think. So, they're basically the same side of one coin. Only, well, two separate sides on one coin, I should say. I messed up that analogy, but still. So, that's really what that is. And I personally want to say that if you're folkish, that's not a bad thing. If you're universalist, that is not a bad thing. If you're tribalist, that's definitely not a bad thing. Just don't take it too far. You know, that's what I think. You shouldn't take it so far that you become extreme and to where you want to shut the other one down. You shouldn't do that. But so far, it seems like that's kind of the way our nation is headed. And equally, that's where heathen politics are headed, it seems. And I think it's really interesting, actually, how heathen politics mirror what your national politics seem to be doing. At least, as an American, that's what I'm seeing. Because you have this divide in America between politics, and that's influencing the politics of heathenry. And it's kind of, I don't know, it's amazing, but a little bit scary at the same time, because that means that if your nation decides to go full-on communist or full-on national socialist, which, funny enough, both of them are socialist, but anyways, if they go full-on either of those fascisms, then so will the heathen politics. At least from what I gather, that seems to be the direction that it may head in. And, you know, whenever you got two ideologies in one nation like that, you're going to have a divide. And that's kind of what we got here. So, you know, I wouldn't know how to fix it. I don't know if anyone knows how to fix it or not. It's one of those things that it's happening. You might as well pick a side or try to stay non-affiliated as long as you can. Because eventually it will It'll either get worse or it will get better. Kind of just have to ride out the storm when it comes to that. And the same can be said for heathen politics. You know, you either pick a side or you ride out the storm. Or try to, at least, for as long as you can. I decided to pick a side. A lot of people, I think, decide to pick a side. But there are also a lot of people that decided, well, I'm going to ride out the storm and try to hold out as long as I can without being attacked by one or the other. Which, to be fair, as far as I've seen, the Folkish National Organization hasn't attacked anyone at all for anything. While you have this one Universalist organization, well, two of them really, they seem to attack people who are guilty of being Folkish or even leaning to being Folkish. So they end up attacking the Folkish organization and even separate tribes who have a Folkish type of vibe to their kindred. So far, from what I see in the Heathen Civil War, you might as well say, there's only one side attacking while the other one is doing nothing. Really. Just either sitting there trying to defend themselves. So to me, that shows me who's in the right. That shows me that right now, the Folkish, this one Folkish organization, are kind of the good guys in this story, from what I see. Because I don't see how Universalist or, you know, anyone saying that we should shut down everything they do because they believe something different than us. I don't see how people can agree with that, especially here in America. You know, whenever you're an American, you believe in freedom. Or at least you should. And freedom is basically our one thing where we say, you can do these things. You can have your rallies. You can speak your mind. You can, you know, you can do all these things without people trying to shut you down. And, you know, it's kind of like the marketplace of ideas that everyone talks about. Is that it's good to let people speak their mind. It's good to let people do their rallies and do their events. Because if you don't, then who's to say that's not going to happen to you? As they say, you know, what you do to one may come back to you. Or what you do to one person happens to you as well. And it kind of comes to that saying, what goes around comes around. So, who's to say that these people doing this, who's to say that it won't happen to them? It probably will. And honestly, I see it happening. I do. I see that happening. But I don't know if it's going to happen anytime soon. I kind of doubt it, but it will happen eventually, I think. But, you know, and it also depends, actually. It depends on what the other organizations decide that they're going to do. Right now, all the Universalist organizations that I've seen seem to be on the attack. While you have all, or at least most, because I have seen some Folkish organizations saying that they should go, seek revenge and go after them. So, like I said, it might come back around. But you also have those who are advocating for peace and saying, no, let's not do anything because you know, it's just not the right thing to do. So, yeah, you have kind of both of those. But, yeah, I side with the folkish organizations on this one here, whenever it comes to the Heathen Civil War in general. But that doesn't mean I hate anyone. If you are a universalist and you're listening to this podcast, you are just as welcome to listen to this as a tribalist would be, or if a folkish would be. I'm just saying, in general, that to me, this seems foolish, this whole, I guess, crusade to make everyone universalist.
Achtung, SMS von der Ostfront.
Oh, well, got a message. But, yeah, that's just my take on it. I think it's foolish. I think we should all get along, because we're all heathens, and we all believe in the old gods and goddesses. We all venerate our ancestors. We just think of things differently. And that's fine. That is okay. That's the way Americans are in general. So basically what I would call for is unity. You know, I would love to see a day whenever a universalist will help a folkish person up off the ground, and vice versa, where you have a folkish person helping a universalist off the ground. That's what I would love to see one day. And we all just come together as American heathens. That's what I want to see. And that's what I would advocate for. So, if you are a universalist listening to this, well, you're welcome to listen to more of the future podcasts I have, or will be having. And, no, I'm just saying, I'm a neutral man whenever it comes to things. I don't hate either side. Of course, I still pick the folkish side because, well, that's what I believe. I believe in the folkish way of believing. I'm on that folkish path, I guess you could say. But I would never hate or try to discourage someone from taking that universalist path if they so choose, because it's their path. You know, that's something that I think people need to understand, is that that is their way. If someone decides to choose a certain way, you shouldn't try to make them come onto your path because you think their path is bad. No path is truly bad, in my opinion. We all should just come together as American heathens and recognize that we all have our own paths. We all have our own different paths. And if a folkish person is on his path, let him be on that path. And if a universalist is on his path, let him be on that path. Because you're on that path for a reason. It could be your own spiritual reason, and it could be a reason, maybe something of your ancestors had put you on that path. But either way, you're on that path for a reason. And this podcast is getting rather long, so I will stop right there and say thank y'all for listening. Hail the gods and goddesses. Hail the ancestors. And y'all have a wonderful day.